Right. Well, as we begin, I hope that you got the prayer sheet as you came in. There's a new one for today, and it should say, what is the date on there? October, it's not today's date. The 5th? I know I have one. Yes, it should say October the 5th. That is the new one. So we're going to have our prayer time afterwards here, and so I just want to make sure you have that, look it over. And I do want to ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 3 this morning. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We're kind of on a rabbit trail still. We're just chasing this rabbit until we catch it. And Revelation chapter 3. Last week we saw that some prophetic teachers today are predicting signs for America. But the signs in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, are actually for Israel during the tribulation, it seems. And the church should not be looking, should be looking for, not signs, but something else. Remember what it is? The coming of the Lord. That's what the church should be looking for, James 5:8. And that means that the coming is imminent. It's near at hand. It's next on God's calendar. Thus leading us to expect that that return or rapture would come before the tribulation, pre-tribulational rapture. And we are to live a holy life in light of that return, recognizing our accountability before the Lord, the judge. And so that's a review. Now, you say, Pastor, are you sure about that? Look around at what's happening. We've got this worldwide pandemic that's going on. Other things are happening, things in the Middle East. Are you sure that we're not entering into the tribulation? Perhaps we will go through it. Perhaps we're going to. Maybe the rapture is going to happen sometime during or after. Seems like it's getting a little bit worse. Are you sure that this is what the Bible teaches? Well, before we jump to conclusions, let's look at this promise that's given to the church in Revelation chapter 3. Remember the first three chapters of Revelation? We have seven messages to seven churches in Asia. And these messages are not just for those local churches in Asia. These are messages that are timeless, and they are for all churches throughout the church age. And you remember this repeated phrase that occurs. We see it here in chapter 3, verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's repeated all throughout these chapters. And that tells us that these are messages for everybody, for all of the church. And I want to look at one of these messages, part of one, to the church at Philadelphia. This is a church that the Lord had no rebukes to give to. There was only commendation that's given to this Philadelphian church. And notice here in verse 7 what it says. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this church did not seem to be a large church. It says that thou hast a little strength in verse 8. That word is the word for power. and you wonder what kind of power could a church have. Well, we would typically think of numbers, but perhaps this church didn't have that. Perhaps not many programs or crowds or money, maybe even no building, or maybe no important people that were members of the church. But they did have this. They kept my word, Jesus says, and has not denied my name. And so God gives them hope, gives them access. He talks about their enemies being defeated. Verse 9, they had enemies. Don't know exactly who the synagogue of Satan was, but it seems to be somebody, some group that was in contradiction to the church. And, you know, the Lord has ways of dealing with the church's enemies. Obviously, he can punish them, but, you know, the Lord can also save them. That's one way that the Lord can deal with our enemies. The Lord can change them, and it seems like that's what he's promising to do to this synagogue of Satan, somehow changing their attitude towards this little church. But Jesus gives this church a special promise, which I believe we can claim today, and that is what we want to focus on in verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The promise is to keep. That's a word we saw last week in our study in John. It's a word that means to guard, to preserve, to keep in safety, to watch over protectively. And notice the specifics here of this promise. I'll point out three. First of all, it's a promise to be kept from a future temptation. A promise to be kept from a future temptation. The meaning of that word from is very important. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. That's a preposition that can have the meaning from or out of. Now, some take this to mean that the church will go through some or all of the tribulation, but God will protect it out of the trials of that time and will arrive safely at the second coming, or they would see that as the rapture at the end, or to be taken out in the middle. But that's not, that is one meaning, but that's not the only meaning of this word from. It can also mean, as it's translated here, from. That is to be kept from something. Give you an example in Acts 15, verse 29, that was the Jerusalem Council. They were giving their recommendations to the Gentiles, and one was that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. Now, the only way that they could follow those would be to abstain from those things. Let's use the illustration of a football player who gets injured. Let's say he breaks his ankle. And the coach comes to him and says, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to keep you from the game tonight because your ankle is broken. Now, would we expect that the player would think that he would be put into the game at the beginning and then taken out of in the middle? No. You know, the meaning clearly of that would be he's going to be not in the game at all. He's going to be on the bench. He's going to be kept from the game. And so a legitimate interpretation is that this is a promise that the church will be kept entirely from the trials of the tribulation. So it's a promise to be kept from this future temptation. And then secondly, notice this is a promise to be kept from the time of this future temptation. Notice what it says in verse 10, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. This is a promise to be kept from the hour. Now that's referring to a specific period of time, which very clearly to me seems to refer to the coming judgments of the tribulation that are detailed in Revelation 6 through 18, chapter 6 through 18. That's all about the tribulation. And you notice that this is not just any trial. This is a specific time of trial. Yes, there have been times of trial in the past, But this is talking about something specific. It's the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. You know, recently we've heard a lot about those fires that are going on out in California and Oregon and the West Coast. And we also hear about the hurricanes that hit the southern coast, Louisiana, things like that. And, you know, it just makes you glad that we live here in Ohio, doesn't it? We get some tornadoes. They do come from time to time. But really, we're pretty much safe from any of those major disasters. But let me tell you this. When the tribulation happens, Ohio will not be exempt from it. Why? Because it's worldwide. Something that happens to the entire earth. That's what this is talking about. And much of Revelation, most of Revelation, is given over to describing the judgments. Remember the seal judgments, and then the trumpet judgments, then the bowl judgments, these three series of judgments. Charles Ryrie, in his book, his basic Bible doctrine book, he says this: the only way to escape worldwide trouble is to not be on the earth. And the only way to escape the time when events take place is to not be in a place where time ticks on. And the only place that meets those qualifications is heaven. Another author, H.C. Thiessen, puts it this way about this promise. He says this: the promise is not merely to be kept from the temptation, but from the hour of temptation, that is, from the period of trial as such, not only from the trial during the period. And again, why should the apostle write from the hour, as he did, when he might easily have written in the hour? If that is what he meant to, say, surely the Spirit of God guided him in the very language he employed. So it's a promise to be kept from the time of future temptation. And then notice verse 11 here. We have a promise to be delivered by Jesus coming. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. How is it that God is going to keep? How is it that God is going to deliver from that period of time? Well, I think that verse 11 is the answer to that. Behold, I come quickly, he says. A promise to be delivered by Jesus coming. Now, Revelation 19, we could jump ahead there. We could see the second coming of Christ in all of his glory. But that's only after the events of Revelation 6 through 18. It seems to me that this is a reference to the rapture, which is possible at any moment, as we saw last week. God will deliver the church from the tribulation at his coming, the coming at the rapture. And believers need to remain faithful until he comes. Hold thou fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Incidentally, after chapter 4, as I'm sure you've observe this, we don't have any more references to the church. We have the church described in chapters 1 through 3, then chapter 4, no more reference to the church after that. All that discussion about the tribulation, the church is not a part of that. It's left out. Why is that? Well, it seems to me that it's because they're not on the earth. The church isn't on the earth at that time. And so, we have this promise. Now, we look around and see things happening. We talked about a few weeks ago the conditions of the last days that Paul writes to Timothy about. And yes, we can see that happening, and increasingly so. But we also need to remember this promise that the Lord has given to the church, not just to this one local church, but to everyone that has an ear here in this time. And this isn't the only one. There are several others as well, And we might take some time to look at that in the future, some of those other promises. But this is an important one. Jesus promised here to keep the church from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. All right, so we have this promise. We need to remember that. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Or anything else you think maybe you disagree with this? That's all right. Yes?
I was just wondering the meaning in verse 9 of that these unbelievers will worship before thy feet.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but it seems to me perhaps some kind of change that takes place in them where they come to realize their mistake and they have a change of attitude about them. But I'd have to study that some more. Maybe somebody else knows. Any other thoughts or comments? All right, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this promise that you've given. We thank you for what you've revealed about the future. We recognize that your plan will be accomplished, even the hour of trial that's coming upon this earth. No area, no person will be able to escape from. We're thankful that you've given us a promise here to keep us from that time. And we look forward to your coming at any moment. And we pray that we'd be ready. We pray, Lord, that you help us to live lives that are pleasing to you, to be faithful, not to give up, but to hold fast what we have. And we ask you for the grace and strength that we need to be able to do this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to take some time for prayer requests and praises and mention a few. I hope that you have the prayer sheet. If not, I believe there's some on either side of the building here. There's some on that desk there, some on the table for you. And just a few I'll mention, and then we'll share some if you have any. Mentioned last week that Kurt Smith's father had passed away suddenly. He passed away last Saturday, a week ago yesterday. And Kurt had to make the decision to take him off of life support. So pray for the Smith family. They're not planning any services of any kind for him. And so pray for the family. I know Kurt's got a brother that lives out west, and I'm not sure about other family that he has. Also heard from the Smiths that Christopher Jackson, that would be Crystal's nephew, Cassidy's cousin, he's come here from time to time. He's going to be having a heart catheterization in November. The little boy, he's about 8 years old, I think. And they think there may be some issue with his heart, and they may do some kind of oblation while they're in there. So she just asked us to pray for Christopher. And then she also mentioned her sister, April. She is one that did have COVID back in the spring. And Crystal said that she's still having some complications from that. So pray for April Jackson. That's Christopher's mother. And then also pray for Liam Woods. If you remember Liam, he has come here for VBS and youth groups and things. We found out this week that he broke his leg. In a couple places, he jumped off a wall at school and he broke it. And so he's laid up. That's Liam Woods. He's come here to church for different things. I think he's 7 or 8 years old. So just pray for him. And his mother is Meredith. Some of you know Meredith from when she lived in Marengo, I think. But she lives in Fredericktown. And then also Mr. Reynard has asked us to pray for him. He has been dealing with the pain issues that he's had a lot here lately. I believe he's said he has an appointment this week with the pain management people. And so just pray for Bob, as he deals with that, he asked us to pray for him. And then my daughter Lillian, she's been struggling with a cough and some chest congestion, so she's not here. And so just pray for her to recover from that. She's dealt with that a couple times here this fall. So my wife's home with her this morning. All right. Any other praises or prayer requests that you'd like to mention this morning? Praises or prayer requests? Yes, Scott.
My friend Rick goes in for open heart surgery on the 19th.
Okay, Scott's friend Rick going into heart surgery on the 19th. Open heart surgery, I believe. Okay, anybody else? Any other prayer requests or praises that you have? Yes.
My brother Ray, he's not doing real well so far. And he's not safe, so.
Okay, so Kathy's brother Ray, not doing well, his health. And he's not saved, so pray for Ray, Kathy's brother, for his health and salvation. Okay, Rhonda?
Just praise that I did get 3 full nights sleep this week, so that's a huge praise.
Okay, praise. Rhonda got 3 full nights sleep, and that's been a struggle lately for her, so praise that she was able to get some more sleep. All right, anyone else? Yes, Lee.
Just for Don and her job, things are improving, but things are still kind of, a lot of work there, so just pray for her.
All right, pray for Donna with her job. Things are improving, but still a challenge. Mm-hmm. So pray for Donna Ray. She teaches at the Delaware Career Center, so that's her teaching position there. Okay, Mr. Wright.
Thanks for the warm, nice weather and being able to harvest crops.
Okay, praise for the nice weather. Farmers are getting into the harvest. They've had some good weather to do that, so that's a praise. All right, yes, Pastor Kessler.
We're traveling to Colorado for a week. Appreciate your prayers for safety.
Okay, the Gossmans are going to be flying out to Colorado to visit their daughter this week. Pray for safety for them. Okay. Any other requests this morning? Anybody else? Any unspoken requests? Okay, Becky. An unspoken under that. Anyone else? All right. Just encourage you to look over the prayer sheet and try to keep that updated from week to week here lately. It's a challenge to fit everything on there, I'll just say that. Have to make some updates, but these are somewhat current as far as last week. And I guess a praise, our president, I think he's doing better after his COVID diagnosis. And I believe he's trying to get back to normal. So that's a praise. And also for our election, we're down here to, I think, 23 days or so. And we really don't know what to expect here when that time comes. What condition our country is going to be in. So we really need to pray for our country. All right, anybody else? Any other requests here this morning? All right. Well, we'll go ahead and divide up then, and we'll have our ladies go to the room over here, and we'll pray until the bell rings, and again,